Hello and welcome to Shelf Interest, a podcast brought to you by the staff at the Main Library of the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. This project is made possible by the State Library of Kansas and the Institute of Museum and Library Services. Our library podcast theme music was created by Mike Stover. Shelf Interest brings you monthly discussions, updates, and suggestions for your next library visit.
And we're back, Cheryl and Laura from the Main Library, once again to give you book recommendations. And we've got a guest with us today. We're going to be hearing later from Ann Lacey, our local history librarian. So on our last book episode, we talked about some really good but really emotionally intense books. So we promised you some a little bit more lighthearted stuff and not so emotionally wrenching. So I'm going to turn it over to Laura for her book recommendation.
Oh, Cheryl. So I did take that to heart to try to think about something that was more uplifting. And so I recently read a book called The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. He's an English author. The book was released in 2020, but I noticed it just made another appearance on the New York Times bestseller list. And it's a really interesting and uplifting look about, now this is going to sound weird, but about regret and life choices and directions that your life takes.
Okay, you promised it's not emotionally intense.
I promise.
Okay.
But let me preface that by saying at the beginning, it does start out with a young woman who she's about 35 and she's feeling like her life has not gone anywhere, that she doesn't have any purpose. And she's reflecting on all of her bad relationships and failed relationships. And her mother and father have both passed and she just isn't doing anything with her life. And in the span of a very short period, she gets fired. Her cat dies. And she is just feeling like everything is falling apart and she has no reason to live. And so she starts drinking some wine and then she takes a few pills. And she gets really engrossed in this, feeling sorry for herself. And she decides that she's just going to drink until it's over. And I know how that sounds, but stay with me here, because she wakes up and she finds herself in this in-between area, and it's called the Midnight Library. And the person, her guide through the Midnight Library, the person running it, is the librarian from when she was in high school, Mrs. Elm, who was always super friendly to her. And when her dad died, she just showed... you know, amazing kindness to her at a difficult time in her life. And she really encouraged her and tried to get her to realize she could be anything she wanted to be. As Nora tries to figure out what is going on, Miss Elm is in this library, and it's a library of books with nothing but versions of Nora's life. And it's each one is different, and Nora can go to a shelf, she can pull one off, and she will be transported to that life. Now she's kind of dropped into that life. And so she doesn't know sometimes the people, she doesn't know what job, but each life is different. And so the Midnight Library gives her an opportunity to experience what her life might have been.
All the what ifs.
That's right, all the what ifs. And if she didn't have any regrets, what might it have been? And the whole process is trying to help her decide, what does she want to do with her life? Does she want to give up fighting, or does she want to try to develop some semblance of a life that will make her happy? And how do you find that happiness? And so growing up, she was in a band with her brother and her brother's best friend, and they were on the cusp of signing a record deal, and she backed out. And this is what really happened to her in her so-called root life. And it caused some hard feelings with her brother. So she doesn't have a good relationship with him. Her parents have both passed. She's feeling very alone. And really, the cat dying was the straw that broke the camel's back. But in each life that she pulls off the shelf of the Midnight Library, she gets to experience what might have happened if some maybe significant, maybe insignificant change had happened to her. So if her dad had not died, she might have been an Olympic swimmer in one life. If she had not bowed out of the band, they would have been a rock star legend with millions of followers on Instagram. Or she might have married her boyfriend who ended up being abusive to her, and she might have found herself running a bar in remote English countryside, which was always his dream, not hers. Hmm. Or she might have accepted a date with that neighbor that asked her, and then she married him and had a little girl. But in each life, she finds that no life is perfect. And each life
there's no such thing as no regrets.
And so there is a thing called the Book of Regrets in her midnight library. And she can look through it and say, yes, I regret that. Yes, I want to fix that. But what she finds with each life is that no life is perfect. And there's good and there's bad. And those things together help you change the perspective of your life and accept that there is good and there is bad. And it doesn't all have to be bad. And she talks about how, you know, your perspective gets out of whack by sometimes the pressure that society or your family puts on you. Her dad really wanted her to be an Olympic swimmer. And I think as a petulant high schooler, she just said, I'm not doing that. And there's some regret with that. But she also finds out that some of the decisions she made were good ones. But it's just so interesting because in some of her lives, she has a good relationship with her brother. In some lives, she does not. And in some lives, her best friend, Izzy, died in a car wreck. And in some lives, she did not. And you can never really pinpoint what decision it is, whether big or small, that made your life take that turn. But they happen to us hundreds of thousands and millions of times every day. Mm. And so our book club read this, and it was interesting because when she selects a new book from the library and she ends up in that life, like I said, she doesn't know the job. She finds herself on the stage in a rock concert, doesn't know the words.
Oh, so she doesn't get the memories of the new life.
No.
Oh, wow.
Or in one life, she ended up and she married the gentleman that asked her out for a date that she turned down, and she had a little girl, and she doesn't know the little girl. And so, and she has no way of, you know, assuming those memories. And so our book club laughed and said, okay, every time from now on that I have a moment where I go, what was I saying? I'm going to wonder if I just experienced a moment in my midnight library. And along this journey, she also finds another person who himself is in his own version of a midnight library, but his was in a record store, a music store. And so, you know, in thinking about who might my midnight library guide be, and it's probably somebody that was influential with me in high school. You know, my fourth grade teacher was always one of my favorites, and it would probably be him. But everybody's got their different person that it would be. And it's just so thought-provoking about how difficult it is sometimes to accept what your life has become. And that just because you're not an Olympic swimmer or you're not a rock star with millions of followers doesn't mean you can't have a fulfilling life.
Right.
And she's in this in-between state where it's an internal struggle of, am I going to live or am I going to die? And if I'm going to live, what am I going to make out of my life? And maybe the point to life is life and not all of these other accolades that people try to put on us and society tries to tell us that you need to have a successful life. And while, listen, at the beginning, it's a little bit of a downer. It is such an inspirational little book and uplifting in a way that I haven't read in a book in a very, very long time.
So it's like the ultimate version of your life passing before your eyes.
Well, it's sort of like
all our lives.
I mean, think
about
It's a Wonderful Life. What if?
Right.
Or if you've ever seen that Gwyneth Paltrow movie, The Sliding Doors, what if you made that train? What if you didn't make that train? And that's really what this is looking at, except that she doesn't necessarily know what particular moment it was that made her life go in this direction or that direction.
Wow.
You know, and it's also interesting to think about how if her friend Izzy died in one of her lives but not the other, what impact did that change? Was it something that she did or was it not something that she did? And, you know, I think when she's in that in-between state, it helped her reflect on she needs to work harder to have relationships with the friends and family that she loves. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of let that go by the wayside, too. So
wow.
It's a very, very uplifting.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, mine actually kind of, mine's nonfiction, but it kind of follows on from there. And it's actually kind of, it's called The Happiness Hacks, 100% Scientific, Curiously Effective by Alex Palmer. And it's a nonfiction audiobook that I downloaded from our Hoopla system. And it's actually, they've compiled, and it's all these scientific studies of what makes people happy. And it's not like the dry, oh, statistics have shown that this, and it's boring. No. It's a tips and tricks book with science to back it up. And it's broken up into chapters of like your work, your relationships, your home, your leisure, and they've picked out from various scientific and psychological studies tips based on those studies of what makes people the happiest. And they differentiate also between happiness in the moment and long-term happiness, which always focusing on happiness in the moment is not necessarily lead to long-term happiness and contentment with your life. So, and they're little short snippets that you can just read and think about and just maybe apply to your life. Like windows and the outdoors. It's just viewing some sort of greenery every day leads to more long-term contentment. So if you don't have any...
like forest bathing.
Yeah. Yeah, and they talk about...
I did not know that was a thing until recently.
They talk about something like that too, yeah. And so they talk about if you don't have any windows in your office, you can bring in plants to do that. And if you don't allow plants, you could maybe point to these studies to your manager. And some of them are geared toward managers. So that's like, so managers, you know, maybe you should look at your office settings, your office codes, and allow people to have things at their desk. And people who are allowed to have some input into their own workspace and the way it looks, have more of a buy-in and are happier.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Cheryl. A lot of our staff are in the basement here and they don't have windows.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our employees bought I think it's a bamboo forest, basically. It's not wallpaper. It's a temporary wall covering that she put up. And I feel so much better when I walk in her office and see that.
And another one, she bought a temporary adhesive poster of a big picture window with a landscape through it so she basically created her own window. And on mine, I've got all sorts of artistic stuff on my walls, crafty, artistic, and then photos of 1920s stage performers and it just...
things that make you happy.
Things that make me happy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot nicer than staring at the walls. And it's the whole book is just full of little tips like that to make you happier, both short-term and long-term. And, you know, everybody knows we need a little more happiness, a little more contentment, you know, in these days. And so that's what I'm in the middle of right now, is listening to that audiobook. Okay, now we are going to switch over to our guest today, Anne. And Anne is our local history librarian, and she is going to talk to us about a book that she is really excited about.
Thank you, Laura and Cheryl. I was talking to Laura last week, actually, about the book Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus, and I knew it was a book that Laura would like, so I had to tell her about it, and she said, oh my gosh, I'm going to read that so I could talk. No, you come on the podcast and talk about this book. And it was one that I enjoyed so much. I had been looking for something to read on Goodreads, and it came up in my feed, and it was recommended to people who are fans of Mrs. Maisel or...
I love Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And I love the book, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? So I picked this up, and it's set in 1960. It's the story of Elizabeth Zott, who is a brilliant chemist in a time when, you know, women have jobs. They're either teachers or nurses. So she is working in a chemistry lab and really it's a story of how she faces sexism at every turn in her life, her personal life, and her career. And while she's working in the lab, she meets another chemist, a Nobel Prize-winning chemist named Calvin Evans. And they just, you know, smash into each other and have, you know, literal chemistry between the two of them. They are soulmates, and they have a relationship that was probably also really uncommon at that time, where they view each other as peers intellectually and emotionally. So their story is really wonderful, and it covers, I mean, it doesn't cover up, it's the light part of the story in contrast to a lot of what she has to deal with. And there are some, there is a story about sexual assault. So, you know, trigger warning for people reading the book. Some of the things she ends up having to deal with are, you know, she's very unconventional, and she's living this life on her own terms in the 1960s, where they decide they don't want to get married. So they live together without being married. And then Calvin, I don't think I'm giving away too much of the plot here when I say that he is in an accident and dies, and Elizabeth discovers that she's pregnant. So then she has to raise this child out of wedlock on her own in a time where that just was not done at all. So in a way, it kind of felt like a fantasy story too, because here's a woman living a life that never would have happened in the 1960s. But you're rooting for her because she's doing everything on her own terms, and she is brilliant. And, you know, she is wrongly fired from her job at the Research Institute, and to make ends meet, she's offered this job as the host of a TV show, a cooking show called Supper at Six, which you would imagine to be kind of a Julia Childs, but like a Betty Crocker type of cooking show. Mm-hmm. But she brings a chemistry twist to it. So she's telling her audience why the recipes work. How, you know, instead of saying salt, she says, you know, sodium chloride. And mm-hmm. she's teaching women about chemistry in the show, and it's absolutely not what the TV producers are wanting. And, you know, she talks...
Well, no, because they didn't do that back then.
Right.
Until, I think, Alton Brown.
Yeah.
You know, did they bring in the chemistry?
Yes. So she's ahead of her time, and, you know, the producers are just ripping their hair out because she's talking about her religious beliefs, and she's an atheist, and, you know, just scandalizing the TV studio. Right. But it's just so... She ends up becoming kind of a feminist icon for her viewers, because they're inspired to do things that they never thought they could do. One viewer talks about how she was, you know, she was interested in medicine, and so Elizabeth encourages her to apply to medical school. And it, you know, a couple of years later, she comes back, and Elizabeth recognizes her as having become a doctor. So it's this, and the characters are so fun, and the reason I really recommended this book to Laura was because one of the characters, and my favorite character in the book, was her dog, whose name is 630. And you can hear, I mean, he doesn't speak, obviously, but you can read his thoughts. So we know exactly what 630 is thinking about everything that's happening in the book. It's kind of like he's a little narrator along, too, and how loyal he is and how he's trying to protect his family. But 630 is just the most delightful character. And there are so many delightful characters in this book. And it's, you know, it's an inspiring feminist read, even if you have to suspend your disbelief for a little bit that her story could actually turn out the way it does. So cool. Highly recommend.
All righty. Okay, so that's two fiction books. And so I'm going to finish up with one more nonfiction called Just a Spritz by Danielle Centoni. This is a drinking book. Yes. Oh, you podcast listeners, you can't see the look on Laura's face. She just got her eyes wide with a grin. Yeah. Except this one's got a twist. It's low alcohol or no alcohol spritzers for the summer. Because I personally am taking medication that affects my liver and cannot drink spritzers and alcohol. But these pictures in this book just look so refreshing. Beautiful pictures. And it's all cocktails with only a little alcohol. And most of them then have variations where you can do a virgin or no alcohol version so that you can have your summer parties and serve the same drinks to everybody just in two different versions. And everybody's included, and they look wonderful. And so I'm going to leave you with that little drinking spritzer book called Just a Spritz.
Is there a recipe for a shrub in that book?
I have not looked. What's a shrub?
And I learned about this by reading one of our staff blog posts this week about shrubs and how they are a fruit juice and vinegar mixture, and you can add herbs and other things, and then you add sparkling water, and it's like a refreshing fruit cocktail, sort of.
Now that sounds great. Now I've made a vinegar drink called it's a Middle Eastern drink called sakangiban. It's like you mix vinegar and fruits and sugar and boil it down into a concentrate, and you use that in place of lemon juice in a lemonade. Mm-hmm. So it's a vinegar-based instead of lemon-based in the lemonade, and it's really good. I have not tried it with a sparkling water, but yeah. I just got a soda stream yesterday. My husband bought one, so I'm going to try. Yeah, that's why I checked out this book, Just a Spritz, because of my husband ordered a soda stream, and we're going to be making carbonated stuff. And so I'm going to try that one, too.
Look for the shrub blog post.
I will look for that. So shout out for our blog post, our programming blog. It's kckplprograms.org. So we're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Shelf Interest, the library podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.